bum you chili miso.
And that is Mono Charlemagne and the Mal du Pai. I think I got that right. Pedro says I got it right. I got it right. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm really glad we were able to talk to Kim Ives. We've spoken to him in the past about developments in Haiti and the region. And I know that our listeners, quite aware as Canadians, that we share something very important, particularly those who are labor for a living, which would be two-thirds of the population, wages. Our president is in Washington, is overbearing, to put it mildly, but he has one quality that probably has helped us a bit, because he says things and the Canadian political leaders, such as they are, can't escape it. They probably don't appreciate his reactionary candor. He says, well, we want Canada. We want them to be a 51st state. People, oh, he's kidding. He's kidding. Canadian people don't think he's kidding, because Canadian people have history, not the kind that's taught to you in grammar school, but people have history. People work. People know their parents worked. They know where they worked. They know where they were born. They know they have grandparents. They know where they worked. They know where they were born. They know what happened during a war. They actually know that before they go to school. They are told. And so the education, some people say, is really just an attempt to create ideology for people and try to lock them into historical narratives. But the people are alien from these narratives because they lived them. And so when you tell them about heroic soldiers and the Queen or whatever, they say, well, yeah, but what was great-grandpa doing? What was great-grandma? Where was she? And, she was one of those who survived the transfer of the Irish and who maybe died in a ship sitting in a bay in Canada, or it might have been cutting cane. And what were they paid? And did they suffer discrimination? They know this is known. And I have to say, the education system, they say it fails. Sure, it fails, because it's an attempt to, you know, put ideology and political something or other in the brains of people who have brains, and their power to resist malarkey is really quite pronounced. And they know the story, and they know what's left out. They said, well, yeah, but we were put in concentration camps, or we were put over here, or we were denied wages, or we were told when we could move or when we couldn't, et cetera. And, you know, your Uncle so-and-so went to jail. They know these things. And so, anyway, back to our marvelous president. He said he wants something. And then our politicians are all trained not to fall over on their backs and start screaming. They all know to say, oh, he's kidding, or no, it won't happen. Things happen. The people know that. And they look at the country and they sort of understand that it's like watching Harry Lime explain to Holly Martin in The Third Man how the world works. And they say, yeah, things would be, let's put it this way, would it be easy to break the country up? And Harry Lime would say, no, it could be done. And so they watch closely. And I think people are watching what is this phenomena with Cuba. And I want to repeat something. People don't seem to want to hear it, but I'll just say. The Russian ambassador to the United Nations said, and I haven't heard anybody contradict him, actually, in the Russian camp, or anybody say he shouldn't have said it. But when Maduro was removed, he said that was a coup. And then he said, I don't think they'll have such an easy time of it with Cuba. That was what he said. Now, I know there's a lot of people hemming and hawing about it, but I'm glad he said that. And I'm glad it's hanging there in the air, uncontradicted, because people are now afraid of, gee, I don't think we better say he's wrong. So they pretend he didn't say it and just kind of go on. But you can't do that in reality. I mean, you have to decide, what do you think happened there? And we just heard from a very brilliant individual, Kim Ives, that it was an ugly kidnapping where the elected president of Venezuela, they have a constitution, they have elections, and the guarantors of elections are not found in Washington, D.C., and they're not found in Human Rights Watch, which is receives its money from Washington, D.C. What happened in the Venezuelan elections is a Venezuelan matter, and one would, if you want to know, you'd have to start with their account and not Washington's account. But there's absolutely no question that a popular movement formerly led by Hugo Chavez and now led by Nicolas Maduro was a process that has to be respected by external powers. But that is not the case, of course, in the U.S. They kidnapped the individual. He's now in a jail in Brooklyn, which is, you know, a little joke that and creates smiles on the faces of the powerful. See what we can do. And it has implications for states in the region because they now come and knock on the next door and say, we're going to do that to you. And do not assume that everyone is Don Quixote. A favorite, by the way, of Hugo Chavez. Do you remember that Hugo Chavez said that there had to be a publication of the Don Quixote, Cervantes' immortal novel, that has to be available to every Venezuelan. He wanted every Venezuelan to have a copy of Don Quixote. You know, I don't see our Western leaders telling us everybody has to have a copy of The Grapes of Wrath. In the case of the Americans, we should choose one that they would be appropriate, that every Canadian should have. Maybe it's a new novel by Linda McQuaig. We have to look into that. But this was a cultural, this was a someone of some depth. This is not a mere politician. There was a thing called Chavismo. And the Bolivarian revolution. These expressions have to be looked into. But again, I would underline that Canadians are watching and need to watch because there's a kind of diktat involved where you're told this or the other thing, and you don't want to know about the other thing, is the way they put it. There's a lot of gangsterism, gangster thought. It's not a surprising phenomenon, but probably one of the most influential films of our time is The Godfather. We probably should underline it. The secretary of, is he called the secretary? Anyway, Foreign Minister Lavrov of Russia gave an interview recently, and he said that when he met Rubio when Rubio was appointed, and of course, had these ministers have to meet each other and kind of work out the ground rules of relationships, and most of it is off the record discussion. involving such things. If you do that, we're going to do the other thing. Or please, or be wise and don't do this. These are candid, necessary discussions. Necessary. I'm not demeaning it. I think it's very important, and it's pretty much also important to be off the record occasionally. However, Lavrov said, interestingly, that as he was getting acquainted with Mr. Rubio, Rubio more than once, to illustrate his point, cited The Godfather in moments in the film, and which would tell you this or that. He would cite as though Lavrov was supposed to know the movie, The Godfather. I assume he does, by the way. You know the expression, make him an offer he can't refuse. This is gangsterism. And so much of what the U.S. is doing now is gangster stuff. Kidnapping a sitting president, assassinating the head of state, assassinating. By the way, not just doing it, but announcing ahead of time they're going to do it. Assassinating. Now, I hope it's not up to the leader to say to the other leader, don't do that, because if you say don't do that, or I'm denouncing you, that noisy big machine with no face will turn and look at you. So this is the world we're in. But gangster philosophy, gangster thinking is probably a natural result of having a superpower, being so strong that you can walk through the other guy's neighborhood and everybody clears the streets while you go by. I've told a story on the Taylor Report previous that Marlon Brando, when they made The Godfather, he said one of the reasons he wanted to do the part, and he said that he based his character, his thoughts, on how to play The Godfather, and it is absolutely memorable. You will never forget it if you've seen it. He said, I was thinking, what is Henry Kissinger like? What is his, and he imagined, he said, that he was like the American Secretary of State. And he named him, too, by the way, Henry Kissinger. The New York Times was so angry that Brando said that, that they ran a little editorial saying, now that is really off, you know, that is completely mistaken. One must not compare our Secretary of State to a gangster figure. And I think all of America, certainly all of Canada, if they read that and thought about it, would just chuckle, because Brando hit him right where it hurts. Remember, Henry Kissinger green-lighted the illegal secret bombing, horrendous bombing of Cambodia. He did it and told no one. I mean, it was not officially never happened. Except it did happen with the loss of thousands of lives. Good old Henry. So this is the world we're living in. And so I'll give you a poignant story to close with today. Pedro says I have time to do this. The North Korea has changed its constitution, and they have added something to their constitution. Should their leader be assassinated, they will strike with nuclear power at whoever they think did it. They put that in the Constitution. That's there because the U.S. gave itself the right to assassinate a foreign leader of a sovereign country. By the way, anyone who does that, who says, I want peace, that's impossible. Because if you want peace with your antagonist, you have to be able to communicate with him or her. And if you murder them, then who are you negotiating with? So you're just murdering people. And that means you don't want any kind of actual negotiated settlement. You're denying them any sovereignty at all. So North Korea has changed its constitution. And if their leader is assassinated, there's going to be bang, a high price bang for whoever does that. Please sober up, everybody. Go back to the United Nations and treat each other as equals. Do not go down that path of gangsterism. This is the Taylor Report. Remember now, May 25, you're going to get a chance to get a beautiful T-shirt by a wonderful artist and muralist. And it's 125 for one, but and there are two. So if you want two, you can get it for $200. You can start now, CIUT.fm, donate, and get yourself that beautiful, beautiful shirt. I think we have come to that moment, and I want to thank Pedro and Mano Charlemagne, and of course, Kim Ives, our guest. This is Taylor Report, Phil Taylor. See you next week.